You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Everyone, Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and it is my great pleasure to welcome my good friend and longtime industry leader, expert, however you'd like to define it, Eric Ruth. I suspect you probably already know who Eric is. Quick recap, Eric was really the first person that I ever got to follow and learn from when it came to marketing, and more specifically direct response marketing in the fitness industry when he had his original fitness-based business, Fitness Marketing Systems. You know, had some of the most influential products and resources that, frankly, our industry has ever seen. I had the good fortune to work with Eric on the first ever product that I released, where we partnered together and launched the Personal Training Money Machine. Gosh, and that was way back in like 2005. Eric has since gone on to co-found Net Profit Explosion. He's moved on, sold his stake in that a couple years ago, and now he is out there influencing entrepreneurs once again. And it is my great pleasure to welcome the guy who I think is hands down the best copywriter the fitness industry has ever seen, Eric Ruth.
Thank you very much, Pat. That was an awesome introduction. I really appreciate that, and I feel good about the things that I've achieved over the years. And a lot of it has to do with making great friends and developing relationships with people like you. So thank you very much.
Well, Eric, I touched on your backstory a little bit, but if you don't mind, I mean, can you give us kind of the abbreviated business biography?
Absolutely, yeah. So in 98, I was working as a direct response copywriter, and specifically in political fundraising for a company called Response Dynamics in McLean, Virginia, and enjoyed the work. It was a bit of a grind, but I enjoyed it, and that really sharpened my copywriting skills. And I had the good fortune, really, I mean, it was just serendipity, to meet a man who I'd followed for a long time, a great marketer by the name of Craig Fort, who is in the real estate niche and became a bit of a mentor to me and encouraged me to pursue information marketing. And because of my copywriting background, and also because there was a fitness tie in there as well, I'd helped an old girlfriend of mine build her personal training business and done that fairly successfully in the early 90s. But anyway, so he encouraged me and I did what he told me to do. So I started a company called Fitness Marketing Systems, started it with just small display ads in Idea Personal Trainer and other fitness industry publications. And the business grew nicely over the years. And so I left my copywriting gig in 2001 and went full time with Fitness Marketing Systems. And things just started to take off, particularly around 2003. When I created Icing the Cake letter sequence for Forrest Walden, Fitness Together, and then things just really exploded from that point on. And then in 2005, I had a fitness marketing systems customer by the name of Sean Greeley, who had a personal training business here in Orlando, and he participated a great deal in the calls that I would do with my client, with my customers, and was very enthusiastic and clearly a smart guy. And so he just kind of continued to put himself in front of me. And then one day he showed up at Phil Kaplan's forum where I was presenting, and we met for the first time personally. You know, we talked plenty of times before that, but this was the first time we'd met in person. And he had some ideas about things he wanted to do. And we started doing some things together, a little joint venture with a nutrition product. And I saw that he had some skill sets that I didn't have. He was very good at managing information, managing people, and that was clear. And I was not good at that. Marketing was my strength. And so I invited him to partner up with me, and we formed NPE, and utilizing the customer base that I developed with Fitness Marketing Systems, we just grew NPE very rapidly over the years. It had some fantastic clients, really great people, and the business grew dramatically. From, just to give you an example, Fitness Marketing Systems, my first business, at the height of it, I was doing about $500,000 a year working out of my home office with one part-time employee. So it was a great lean business, very successful. Profit margins were huge. With NPE, within 2 years, well, it was actually took about 3 years, but 10 times that revenue, grew it to $5 million a year. But the sad thing is, really, and the primary source of my frustration with the business, well, there were two primary sources, but one of them was the fact that there was just, the margins were so thin. It was a big bloated business. And so there was plenty of revenue, but there wasn't a whole lot of money left over at the end of the day, which is a very bad thing. We can talk more about that as we go forward. But so anyway, I just got frustrated because of that and also because of some issues between Sean and me. And so I decided it's time to get out. So I sold the business and moved on. But, you know, it was a great time while it lasted and had a very significant impact in the industry, as you know. And it was fun for a time, but then it became more of a grind. And so it was just time for me to leave.
Yeah, so kind of fast forward to what you're doing today, and then I'll see if we can kind of circle back and dig into some of the lessons along the way and as they may relate to someone's ideal business.
Yeah, great. So today, what I'm working on primarily is the referral challenge, and that's a relationship-based marketing program that's with an emphasis on consistent communication with your sphere of influence in order to generate, to maximize referrals. And there's a lot more to it than that, but that's sort of the big picture. And that's my primary objective, is to grow that, because I just firmly believe, after having done just about everything that you can do in the local marketing, having experienced it all, I believe in my bones that referral marketing is the best form of marketing there is. It's comprehensive. It touches every part of your business, and it's also highly, highly effective. So the referral challenge is my primary focus. The secondary focus is Core 4, which I'm doing with Camellia, my wife, and another partner, Gary Swarney. And that is a high-level curriculum-based training program and coaching program, which is very interesting. We're just getting started with that, but it's already off to a nice start.
Awesome. So, you know, you've kind of going through about every stage an entrepreneur is going to go through, at least the type of entrepreneurs that you or I probably tend to work with, the smaller kind of boutique, high profit business, the bigger, more corporate, bureaucratic type of business, bigger revenues versus higher margins. I feel like I'm listening to my own story in some regards.
I know. You and I have very similar paths, I think. You know, we've followed similar paths in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, I mean, I started with this lean and mean business. And I'll tell you, I loved it. It was fantastic because it was congruent. I think, Pat, and I think you probably agree, that when you're talking about your ideal business, the place to start is with your core values. You know, who you are as a person, what matters most to you, and build your business to support those values and your most wanted lifestyle versus the other way around, which is, you know, your business dictating your lifestyle. And I've done both. I've been in both camps. But I started lean and mean, and that was beautiful. But then with NPE, it was big and bloated, and it wasn't congruent with my values because I was chained to a desk just working constantly. No freedom, no time for family, no time for fitness. And the finance side wasn't even really there. Oh, it's great to say, yeah, I own a $5 million a year business. But when I'm making less money that I was personally taking out of the business in NPE than when I ran Fitness Marketing Systems, which was 10 times smaller, then you know something's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the story you tell sounds so much like the one that I tell, and the starting with your values, really what's important to you. I mean, I know that for me, it was being able to have the flexibility to spend time with my family and see my kids grow up and be intimately involved in that instead of passing witness to a little bit of it, which is what it sometimes feels like when you're trying to run a bigger organization. You're on the road or working just hour upon hour. So with that, I feel like I already want to kind of dig in and ask for some direction. I mean, not only have you gone through this experience yourself, but you've gotten to work with hundreds, if not thousands, of fitness entrepreneurs on a personal level. For somebody who's already in business, you know, how can they kind of start to course correct so that they can get back to the business that they want?
It's a great question. And I'll tell you, I don't believe in winging things. I value people's time, you know, and the people that are listening to this, I think I want to give them as big a bang for the buck that I possibly can while I'm on this call with you. So I prepared a list, actually, of 18 things that I believe are commonalities in successful businesses. Obviously, they're all critically important, but the individual would have to listen to them and filter them through their value system to determine whether they fit for them. So I've got this list anyway, and I'll just start with the first one, and you know, we can talk about them because I think you'll probably agree that they're worthwhile. And these are in no particular order. I just wrote them down. But the first one I've got here is manageable, ideally low overhead. And I don't care how big your business gets, you've got to manage the overhead. So that's the first one. The second one, I won't go through all 18 without stopping, Pat, but the second one is having fat margins, you know, pricing your products and your services the right way. You need to do the math on those things. And that's important. There needs to be a mathematical component to it. There needs to be some thought that goes into it. It can't just be random. With us in the information marketing business, it's a little bit different, because the products and services that we sell primarily have very large margins because they're create them one time and then you can sell them over and over again. But with service-based businesses, there's many more costs that go into it. So you've got to do the math and figure out your pricing so that your margins are there, because you've got to have the profit to reinvest back into the growth of your business. So those are the first two, managing your overhead and fat margins. And certainly those two things go hand in hand. And then the third one along the same lines is just being financially conservative. It served me so well with fitness marketing systems. I was making sure that I paid myself first, you know, pay yourself first, and don't be overly aggressive with speculation when it comes to your money. You know, just be conservative, think things through. There are times when you want to invest, for sure. You absolutely need to invest, but you need to do it in a circumspect way and get outside guidance and advice. Don't just make decisions emotionally. So that's the money stuff, I think, is the place to start. And I've got a lot more to talk about,
Pat. Well, that was awesome. I mean, I'm sitting here taking notes as we go. So I feel like the things that you touched on are largely ignored, you know, at least with fitness entrepreneurs. How can I price things conservatively enough to get clients? And this is what the market is already kind of set at here, so I'm just going to do what others do, or even worse, I'm going to try to undercut them as my point of differentiation. And then the pay yourself first, I mean, I would bet, and I don't have anything firm to back this up other than just, you know, countless conversations, not 10% of the business owners in our market actually pay themselves first.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They generally pay themselves last. It's whatever's left over. And that is just not smart. And I'm not saying that in a demeaning way, because I understand. I understand the psychology. I've been there. But if you, the listener, are in a situation where you're doing that, paying yourself last, you need to take a hard, hard look at how you're running your business right now and start making changes. Because the bottom line is, if you go down, the business goes down.
Truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah. You know, and what you said about the pricing is so very true. I think that is sort of the calculus that goes on, or the limited calculus that goes on from a business owner's perspective. They go, what do I see in my marketplace? What is my competition selling at? And, you know, I'll either try and fit right in there, or as you said, undercut them, which is the kiss of death, man. You never want to be the low price provider. It's such a dangerous proposition, because the only way to go is down from there. So let me just throw out a little calculation that can be done. This is very basic, and there's a lot more that needs to be considered. But when you're trying to price your products and services, well, let's just talk about services. You got to look at your hard costs. What does it cost you to deliver that service? And that's, you know, primarily going to be your overhead plus your labor. There'll be some other things that go into that. But look at your hard cost. So say your hard cost is $50 for whatever, right? It's a unit. And on top of that, what you want to add is your client acquisition cost. And you need to know that number. How much does it cost you to buy a client? Because we all buy our clients. Let's say that's another $50. So you're now at a baseline of $100 for your price. And from there, what I would do is a keystone markup. I would just double it. Again, this is very general, so you need to look at this in terms of your business, filter it, as I said, but just general rule, I would double it. So now you're up to $200. Dick Chilton, one of my mentors and just favorite people in the world who worked with me at NPE, and just a wise, wise man with a 40-year track record of high-level sales and sales management with Fortune 500 companies, very smart man, always talks about the Murphy Law. And you've got to factor in for Murphy. So I would add another 20% on top of that. So I'd be looking at pricing this unit that has a hard cost to me of $50. I'd be pricing it somewhere around $220. That's just a basic formula to start for your pricing.
That was incredible. That's worth the time for the interview alone. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, thank you. And, you know, what goes hand in hand with that, Pat, as you know, because you are exceptional at this and teach it very well, is salesmanship. You know, people are afraid to price where they need to price because they lack confidence in their ability to sell. And that's what it comes down to. And, you know, selling is, I'm so thankful that, you know, and this is, let me back up just for a second, because one of the issues that so many fitness business owners, let's say, for example, run into is that their background, for the most part, is technical. You know, they've been probably athletes most of their lives and have embraced the physical fitness, obviously, their entire lives. And then they went to school and studied, you know, kinesiology or biology or something along those lines. And then they maybe got an internship or something. So they've always been very technical in terms of their education. And so for them, the business side requires, you know, there's a lot of education that has to occur in a short period of time. For me, I grew up in the service and sales business. I mean, my entire life, that's what I've done. And that background has served me well because selling is what business is about. And so, you know, I would just encourage everyone to invest in your sales products, Pat, and get the best possible education they can on how to sell, because that is the difference maker in business.
Well, I appreciate the endorsement, but man, I couldn't agree more. You know, nothing happens till a sale is made.
That is so true. And let me just throw out a plug for a book too. Maybe the best book on selling. It's not necessarily tactical, but it's mindset related. And the mindset is, that's 90% of selling is the mindset. So one of the best books out there for me that I, you know, that I love is How I Raised Myself Up from Failure to Success in Selling by Frank Betker. And you can get it on Amazon. It's a $12 or something, but it's just a fantastic read. And the story is just compelling as all hell. And it will help you get your mind right about how to sell.
Awesome.
So I'll keep going if you're...
Please do. This is gold.
All right, great. Well, then, so another item I've got on my list is, and we've already touched on this a little bit, is being congruent to your values. And basically, that's about integrity. You know, the guy, a man you and I both know very well, and we both respect, is Forrest Walden. And he's the CEO of Iron Tribe Fitness, for those that don't know him. He used to be a franchisee and then a master franchisee in fitness together. He's a young man. I think he's younger than you, Pat. And he's, well, I know he is. He's in his, I think, still in his 30s, maybe 39 or 40. But he's just hugely successful. And I've known him for a long time. I know you have too, Pat. Actually, Pat and I used to be in a mastermind with Forrest and Phil Kaplan and a bunch of other of the great people back in the day. But anyway, Forrest, one of the things I always talk about with Forrest, and I've talked to him about this too, one of the things I respect the most about him is that he is truly congruent. He is exactly what he appears to be. His values that he espouses are the values that he lives by. There is no deviation. There is no conflict. And I think that that has served him so well over time because he's just true to himself. And I think when you're that way, it sort of like parts the sea for you. I mean, it's really that powerful. So being congruent to your values is huge. And then the next one is maximizing internal opportunities and systemizing your business before expanding. you know, one of the things we used to deal with so much at NPE, and even at Fitness Marketing Systems, when I do consultations, I would deal with this all the time, with business owners who had, their business was running well, it was doing well, and all they could think about was expansion. They were like, well, look, I've got this one boot camp or this one facility that's generating X number of dollars. If I only had three more, I'd be a millionaire, you know, and they think along those lines, which is normal. It's natural to think that way, but it's also very, very dangerous. I can tell you that of the hundreds and possibly maybe thousands of fitness business owners that I know who have tried to do that, 7 out of 10 fail when they try and expand. It is very, very, very tricky. There's a lot of conditions, a lot of circumstances that you cannot predict. Just to give you an example, you know, your primary location now is doing great. You might think, well, okay, all I got to do is rubber stamp this some other place, but that other place that you open up doesn't have the market that your primary place does. And so even though you're doing everything the same in the other place, you just can't pull in the clients the same way you could in the original location. And that was something that was maybe difficult to foresee. You know, maybe you did a little due diligence and everything looked good, but it just, your marketing isn't working over there the way it is in your primary location. These are things that you run into. And can they be overcome? Yeah, they can sometimes, but it will take a lot of time and effort to do so. And now you're running two businesses instead of one, and you're, you know, it starts to really wear you down. So that's a dangerous one.
Yeah, I mean, keep them coming. This is priceless.
Well, you know, Rick Sikorsky, the founder of Fitness Together, who was just a brilliant, I mean, you talk about sales, he was a brilliant salesman. One of the things he would do was when you would go for your original, what's it called, your investigative meeting with him, you know, if you were considering being a franchisee, he would sit you down and do his presentation, whatnot, and he'd sell you a Fitness Together because, you know, you'd be, if you're going to show up in Colorado, you go to visit him for your meeting, he was going to sell you. But he wouldn't just sell you one. He'd sell you one plus the rights to another one, or he'd sell you multiples because he knew this was his opportunity to max it out. And almost everybody that bought multiples or even rights to other locations really, really struggled. So that's just a little anecdote about the issue we were talking about before. But what I mean by maximize internal opportunities is within your business, your existing business, there are many, many ways to generate additional revenue within your business. And really what you have to look at is, again, you have to look at the numbers. You have to look at what is your, you know, just as a basic starting point, what is your average client lifetime? How long is your average client staying with you? And what can you do to increase that period of time? And then, of course, your average client lifetime value. So the first one is about time. The second one is about money. Their value, how much are they worth to you? And what else can you sell to them? Because if they'll buy from you once, they'll buy from you twice. And I'm not talking about forcing things down their throat. I'm talking about discovering what other things they need, what are the problems they have, and then presenting solutions to them that will help them. So there's a great deal of opportunity to increase profit, grow revenue, increase profit with your existing location. And that is the best advice I think I can give you, is max out the revenue from your location and systemize everything that you've got. Because then if you do want to expand, you'll give yourself a much, much better chance. Next one I've got, Pat, is producing and promoting proof. And I just released a checklist called the Social Proof Checklist, which you can get at ericroof.com. If you sign up for the referral checklist, then I'll send you the Social Proof Checklist as well. But I think that's something I see that's lacking in a lot of fitness businesses. They're not producing enough proof, and they're not promoting that proof aggressively enough. You know, I'm amazed by, Pat, are you familiar with the Amazing 12 program?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, that's something that I was just introduced to a while ago. There's a gentleman, I think his name is Paul McElroy. I write about it in the Social Proof Checklist, but he's in Ireland, and he has a fitness business there called the Centaur Gym, and he developed this training methodology that he called the Amazing 12. It's a 12-week program, and he's put so many clients through this thing and generated such incredible social proof, just dramatic before and after pictures, had such great success with that his business blew up. I mean, he just had so much demand for his services that he decided to license out his training methodology to other fitness business owners. And I think he licensed it for like 10 grand a year or something like that. And so now he's got like 30 or some odd coaches around the world using this Amazing 12 program. And if you just Google Amazing 12 and then click on images, you'll see there's like hundreds and hundreds of these before and beautiful before and after pictures. These guys know how to produce and promote proof. And because of that, their business has exploded. So that's a big one. Oh, and along those lines, and I got to give a plug, but just before we got started the recording, Pat and I were just talking about different things, and we were talking about a guy we both know and really like and respect, a man by the name of Brad Linder, who's a fitness business owner down in Texas. And he has, Brad, just a great guy, he really embraced the whole social proof, the collection, the production and promotion of proof. And he now has 300, I think it's over 350 video testimonials from his clients on his YouTube channel, which is just incredible, incredible. And on top of that, he's got hundreds of before after pictures and written testimonials. His website's just jam-packed with him. He does a fantastic, fantastic job with producing and promoting proof, and his business is rock solid. I mean, it has been for years and years. Primarily, I think, because of that. There are other reasons too, but that's certainly one of them.
Yeah, I got to witness one of my clients that I got to just watch explode his business, Sam Bakhtiar, that had the Camp Transformation Centers. Sam, I mean, at this point, has somewhere in the neighborhood of like 7,000 before and afters of people who've gone through his various programs. And it's, I mean, it's amazing. And it's been the most powerful sales tool. I don't know that Sam has had to do a whole lot with copy or particular autoresponder sequences or even, you know, a whole lot else with marketing other than the promoting of that social proof. And I mean, and his business has grown like wildfire.
That's incredible. I think, and I know Sam too, and that might be, he might then hold the record, I think, of all the fitness professionals that you and I collectively know. That might be, he might be at the top, because that is a crap ton of social proof, and kudos to him, man. That's fantastic. And that's what you just said is such a beautiful thing, and I want to reinforce it with listeners, is that when you have social proof like that, you don't need to be a creative marketer. You don't need to be a great copywriter. All you need is to put a ton of proof up and make good offers. And you have those two things in your business, you will get business. Because what does proof do? It overcomes skepticism. And the skepticism, cynicism, doubt, those things, that's the reason people don't buy. They buy because they trust you. And there's no better way to generate trust than, well, relationship is the number one way, but the second best way is proof. Congratulations to Sam, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So what's next on this list? I've got like seven down and I'm ready for more notes.
Yeah. So the next one is sell the right way at the right price. And we kind of talked about this earlier, so I won't go into too much. Get the Bedger book, read that, buy Pat's sales products, and learn how to sell, because anybody can be an order taker. That's one of the things I learned. When I was in college, I was a waiter and put myself through college by waiting tables. And one of the first waiting gigs I got was at a nice restaurant upscale called the Rusty Scupper in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. It's not there anymore, but it used to be a pretty hot spot. My manager was watching me the first week or so I was there, and he's like, he took me aside at one point. He's like, Eric, you need to get your average ticket price up. And I was like, okay, well, how do I do that? And he goes, well, the problem is you're an order taker. You need to be a salesman. And that really struck home with me. When you're selling, you're not there to anybody can take an order. That's a $10 an hour job. Selling is about helping people, enhancing their experience, giving them what they want at the right price, you know, and that's so key. So clearly you need to understand how to isolate the problem the person is experiencing, relate to that problem, build value, provide proof, and then close, and not be afraid to close, you know, repeatedly, because oftentimes it takes more than one. You know, you can't just listen to that first no. And I'm not talking about being pushy. I'm not the antithesis to good salesmanship. You do not want to be a pushy, aggressive used car guy. What you want to do is be a problem solver and a value builder. So you need to learn the right way to sell at the right price. And then the next one, Pat, is, you know, never stop selling. Never stops. You know, you need to be marketing and selling all the time, but it needs to be soft. And I'll tell you, again, a plug for you, Pat, because I believe it. It is just watch how Pat sells. Just read his emails and you will learn so much about how to consistently provide value and softly encourage people to buy, because I think you just do it in a brilliant way. And a lot of that is the consistency of it. And this is another thing Pat and I were talking about before the call, is just being consistent, showing up every day in some form of communication. And maybe every day is too much for your business and that for fitness businesses, and that's fine. But the key is to be consistent and showing up regularly. So never stop marketing and selling. That's, and then communicate consistently. And that sort of goes hand in hand with that, what I was just talking about. That's the next one, is just consistent communication. And that communication needs to be two-way. It needs to be a conversation. It's not just about you pushing out information. It's about a conversation, because that's how you develop relationship. And you'll see oftentimes in Pat's emails, he'll say, hey, if you have a question about this, or you know, you just want to say hi or whatever, just reply to my email. And he also gives a lot of other ways for you to communicate with him, you know, through his virtual fitness mastermind or whatever. There are different ways that he has for maintaining those open lines of communication, because, again, that's how you develop a relationship. You can't just rely on the times that your clients are working out with you, because that's transactional. You know, there's obviously relationship building occurs at those times, and that's strong, but it's also a transactional time period. They've paid you for that time. They're there to get something done. So there needs to be communication that occurs outside of the transaction. I'll keep going, Pat. I've got the next one is so critical, and that's build a strong network. You know, you've got to have it. You know, for me personally, this is something that, you know, I value my time. And I sometimes think of having to go out and talk with people as a burden. And that's unfortunate. And I wish I didn't think that way, but sometimes I do. And so I just have to push myself through that, you know, because the only growth comes when you're uncomfortable, frankly. You know, it's like that saying, you know, you got to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. So if networking makes you uncomfortable, all the more reason to do it, because it's so critical. There's just so much proof that few things will impact your ability to grow as a person and as a business more than having a strong network. And Pat, you should talk about that too, because frankly, nobody does it better than you do that I know of in this industry.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I mean, I feel like everything that you said here, it is like the most practical MBA on building a successful business, the ideal business. As it relates to networking, man, I feel like my network has been the, you know, the centerpiece of any success that I've probably had in the industry. And it's been, you know, just trying to put myself in situations where I can meet people who might share some of the same values and might be interested in some of the same things. And sometimes they've got complementary skill sets. Sometimes they have similar skill set. I mean, but it's just, you know, finding people that are entrepreneurial. I mean, even if there's not, you know, I mean, I don't think I ever go into a relationship expecting some sort of professional, like business gain out of it. But I know that I'm going to get something out of it because somebody's going to inspire me. They're going to make me better. I can feel better about the way that maybe I can add value to what they're doing. And, you know, it's one of those things that the people who don't do that, I mean, they're kind of flash in the pan type folks, because, yeah, I mean, you can go out there and market and hustle, but if you don't have relationships, most of it's not going to be lasting. And man, I think that the power of we is definitely much greater than the power of me. And that doesn't necessarily mean, hey, we always collaborate on a product, or you promote me, I promote you. I mean, sometimes it's just being able to share insights, being able to, you know, offer objective feedback. But the thing about it, like if I go into a relationship thinking that way, like, hey, how can I just create a relationship with somebody and strengthen it over time? What I've noticed is a percentage of them, and, you know, there's no formula to know what percentage of them or who or whatever else, but a percentage of them invariably turn into real key drivers in business. I would say that if not 100%, I can't imagine that it would be more than 1 or 2% less of the revenue I've been able to generate, the income that I've been able to make, the impact I've had. I mean, all of it really has been tied to, you know, building some relationships.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I want to reinforce something you said early on that was just so profound, really, is that you don't go into any relationship with an expectation of that, with any expectation other than your own growth as a result of, you know, the relationship. You don't initiate relationships to get something from the person other than just the opportunity to get to know them and potentially learn from them and share some insights with them. So it's that way you look at it, that mindset, that framework that you go at it with that makes all the difference. And I'll give you a perfect example. You know, Pat and I, you know, we started off as great friends and then we became head-to-head competitors for years while I was at MPE. And really, you know, we didn't maintain the friendship and that was on me. But after I left MPE, the very first person, big name person out in the fitness industry to get back in touch with me was Pat. And it wasn't because he wanted anything from me. It was just because he was congratulating me, frankly, on when I launched the referral challenge and letting me know, you know, what he thought of it. And I just thought that was just wonderful. I mean, that's the beauty. It's that type of mindset. It's that type of attitude that makes all the difference. Because when you have those friendships, those relationships, opportunities just naturally present themselves. They just evolve out of it. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes they do. So, but if you don't have those relationships, then your opportunities become much more limited.
I can't emphasize what you just touched on there more. And I mean, if I strip down everything I do, it would be, you know, consistency of newsletters, a passion for coaching, and building a strong network. And that, I mean, that's like my business in a paragraph. And it's been so rewarding to be able to create relationships that hopefully in many cases have just been win-win across the board, be it for monetary reasons, personal growth, or just, you know, being able to become friends and share some, you know, some experiences.
Right. Because life is freaking short and it's nice to have a lot of friends.
Yes.
Okay, so the next one is delight clients, you know, just delight them. And I just sent out an email yesterday about this, and I heard Warren Buffett talking about it recently. And he said, that's a three-word mission statement. You want to be successful in business? This is what Warren Buffett said, you know, one of the, I think, the second richest man in the world. And he said, just delight my customer. That should be your mission statement. And the way you delight, frankly, is, you know, it's not by doing the expected. When somebody buys something from you, they expect high-quality service. So that's expected. The way you delight is by doing the unexpected. That's a lot of what the referral challenge is about, frankly. The next one is don't step over dollars to pick up pennies. You know, I see this far too often where people are just myopic about the investment in their business, the investment, let's put it a different way. They're myopic about the investment in their relationships, in their clients, and how they acquire clients. To give you an example, my wife and I, Camille and I go to this, we work out at a really great facility with awesome trainers, and it's pricey. I told them repeatedly, I'm like, hey, you know, I love these t-shirts that you guys have. And they're like, yeah, yeah, they're nice, they didn't even give me a t-shirt. You know, I give them like a lot of money every month, and all I want is a freaking t-shirt, it's $10. And I thought about, well, should I just ask them? But then I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll just buy one. You know, I'm not going to ask for something like that. But they should be offering it. And that's what I mean by they're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. It would cost them 10 bucks, maybe 7 bucks to give me a t-shirt. And it builds a lot of goodwill. Plus, I become a walking ambassador for them. I mean, a billboard. I'm wearing their logo and their name. Another thing along those same lines of stepping over dollars to pick up pennies is weak offers. You know, when you put an offer out there, is making it, you know, 10% off or something like that, or, you know, just being chintzy about your offers, your front end offers. Your pricing for your full service packages should be, as I mentioned earlier, fat margin. But for your introductory offers, you want to look at making them very compelling. That doesn't always mean that you reduce the price dramatically. I just mean, just think it through, have good offers, and then not having a guarantee. That's another way of, you know, stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. Guarantee what you do. Very few people will take you up on it unless you really mess up. All right, the next one is develop and invest in your staff. I mean, you've got to do that. You don't want churn in your staff just like you don't want churn in your clients. So develop and invest in your staff. And Pat, that product that you just released, the staff training product, what's the name of that?
The Expert Coaching System.
Yeah, get that. That's all I'll tell you. Just get that. Get your people trained and really invest in them and build relationships with your trainers. raise them up, and they will raise you up. A high tide floats all boats kind of thing. Number 14 is listen to clients. That's kind of redundant because I talked about earlier about the communication, communicating consistently, two-way communication. So I won't go in any more detail about that. But just pay attention to what your clients say. The next one is be action-oriented, you know, particularly when the action is imperfect. And this is really a distinguishing factor between entrepreneurs who really move forward rapidly and those who don't. And that's the willingness to take some risk, intelligent risk, and put yourself out there with whatever it is you have and you're developing. If you've got a new offer, for instance, Brad Linder, the guy we were just talking about earlier with all the social proof, he's developed an info product by going through Pat's program. And now he just created it. He's like, okay, he went through Pat's program. He put the stuff together quickly. He's ready to rock and roll. It's not perfect, but it's good enough. And it's good enough to get out there and he's going to move forward with it. So that's what I mean. Action oriented, have some urgency in what you do. The next one is decisive leadership. I mean, I remember when they used to call George W. Bush, somebody developed a nickname for him, or maybe it was him, where he was decider in chief. You know, you as the principal in your business, that is maybe your most important role, is to be decisive. You know, you have to make the decisions every day about what needs to be done. They're not all going to be right, but you've got to be decisive. The next one is know your numbers. It's just critical. That's something you've got to be looking at, ideally, you know, at least once a week, maybe on a daily basis, really, just depending on your particular situation. But there are numbers you got to know. There's a lot of them, but just some of the critical ones. You know, you need to know your lead cost by source. You know, so for instance, how much of your leads that you generate on Facebook costing you? If you're doing direct mail, how much do those leads cost you? You need to know that. You need to know your client acquisition cost. How much does it cost you to buy a client? So if you're running a space ad in your local magazine and it costs you $1,000 to run that ad and you get 5 new clients from it, so your client acquisition cost from that source is $200. You just divide your total ad expenditure by the number of clients generated, and that gives you your client acquisition cost. It will vary by source, but you need to know those things because that's how, one of the ways you determine your ROI and which source is better for you than others. Maybe on Facebook, your client acquisition cost is only $20. So, you know, you need to be scaling up your Facebook ads, and maybe I'd continue with the space ad as long as, you know, you're generating clients at a break even or better, but I would put more money into the Facebook if my client acquisition cost is lower. There are other considerations. I'm not going to get too long-winded about this, but you also need to know, you know, maybe you might be generating a client from Facebook for $20, but that client might only be staying with you for 3 months, whereas the client generated from the full-page space ad in the magazine stays with you for 6 months. You know, so you might be getting a better client from that other source. And this is only something you can determine over a period of time. And that's, again, why you need to know and watch your numbers. Obviously, you need to be looking at average lifetime of a client, which is time, as we talked about, and the average lifetime value of a client, which is money. You need to be looking at your fixed and variable expenses, those types of things. Know your numbers. And then the last one, Pat, is create great offers. You know, offers are the new USP, and each offer should have a unique selling proposition in it. That's one of the key things. If you combine, as I mentioned earlier, you combine preponderance of proof with great offers, and you're consistent about promotion, you will grow. You will get more clients, and your business will grow. So that's my list, Pat.
Eric, I don't know what to say. In truth, I would have been happy to pay you for a consulting call to get that same list.
Thank you, sir.
That was just lights out, incredible, like over the moon. So thank you for over-delivering as always. That was great. So,
well, you're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity, as I mentioned, you know, to be on your call. But most of all, Pat, as I told you before, I appreciate your friendship. You know, it means a lot to me, and I'm just glad that, you know, we're able to spend some time. So thank you.
Well, you know, Eric, obviously, you've got so much to share, so much that you can, you know, help people with. If the people listening in want more gold, like you just shared here, where can they go find more?
Well, the best place is just to go to my primary website, which is ericruth.com. It's ericruth.com. And opt in for the referral checklist. It's awesome. The checklist is awesome. And from there, you'll be on my newsletter list and you'll get all the other good stuff that I send out. There's about 8 more checklists that I've got that you will get once you opt in, including the social proof checklist and the sales checklist. And then we've got some others, kind of money checklist coming out soon, and SEO and direct mail and a bunch of stuff. So there will be a lot of good content. And of course, I will try and sell you things because I'm in business, but I won't do it in a way that irritates or aggravates you, I promise. So thank you very much for listening. And I appreciate your time, the listener, because I know your time is valuable. And I hope you got a lot of good stuff out of this. So that's it for me, Pat.
Well, we'll have a recap of so much of this powerful and impactful information in the show notes. And you'll be able to find a link to Eric's site there as well. And again, thank you, Eric. This was incredible. And, you know, I appreciate you having so much and so much value to share. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.